It is the FTN Fast Break, Episode 5, Monday, August 12th, 2024. What is going on, everybody? Welcome in, Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawhisenberg DFS, back alongside my good buddy, my co-host, Mike Randall, at Randall Rant. Mike, coming off Fantasy Football Expo this weekend. How was it, man?
Yeah, it was fantastic out in Canton, Ohio. I had the picture with the Tom Benson statue. Got to hang with the team, of course, Bond. But don't think, Zach, that basketball wasn't at the center of attention. We made sure that we were back at the house at 3:30 to watch that game on Saturday. Just an incredible matchup there. And Steph Curry doing what Steph Curry does. Incredible stuff. But basketball always on the tip of the tongue, no matter whether we're at the Fantasy Football Expo or not.
Yeah, so we've got, obviously, recapping that Olympic gold medal game. That will be the meat and potatoes of this episode. Want to talk Lauri Markkanen extension first, and then, of course, we'll have our stock up and stock down. But, Mike, to start off today's episode, even before we get into this extension, we got a couple Shams tweets this morning. And again, I was just mentioning to our buddy Adam Strangis, a couple of our other FTN fantasy subscribers in the Discord channel, that we're really in the dark days of the NBA calendar here with the Olympics over. We still got about 3 weeks until NFL officially kicks off their regular season. But we did get this little oasis here in the middle of August because opening night on TNT, doubleheader, Knicks at Celtics for ring night, then Timberwolves at Bronny James Lakers. So any takes for you on that opening night slate? We've also got finals rematch, January 25th in Dallas, February 6th in Boston, and Klay Thompson, first return to the Bay Area, November 12th. So again, Knicks, Celtics, Wolves, Lakers, what do you got?
Yeah, a lot to say. First, the Knicks-Celtics is the way to go. We are going back to the old school rivalries here. Nothing better. Patrick Ewing and the Knicks versus the Celtics. They finally got going. Then it was the Bulls. Love the rivalry. Love the matchups here. Also, can't wait, Zach. When is Jason Tatum going to play the Warriors? We can get into that one. I can't wait to bet those props. But just great stuff here. Bucks, Sixers. A lot of compelling storylines here. Bucks, can they find another run for that window? The Sixers, are they finally going to get over the hump by adding Paul George? Knicks, Jalen Brunson. He had his press conference here recently, Zach, about being named captain. Totally was on the company line. It's about winning. If we win, then the individuals rise. All the stuff we would love to hear from our high school teams if we were coaching. He said it, except that he believes it, which I love. A lot of great storylines here. Can't wait.
Yeah, I love it. And again, I think Western Conference still a little bit stronger top to bottom than the East. But like you mentioned, Knicks and Celtics and Sixers and Bucks, right? We cannot forget the Milwaukee Bucks Christmas Day schedule. Mike, my Spurs back on the docket. First time in like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. And probably the last time that they will be off that Christmas Day schedule was last year. Spurs at Knicks to start off our Christmas Day. Wolves and Mavericks. Then, like you said, you got Sixers and Celtics in there as kind of the afternoon delight. Then we get into the late night doubleheader. Lakers, Warriors, Nuggets, Suns. So again, Christmas Day, always a fantastic slate. But of course, I'm a little bit, we're injecting that homer bias here, which we probably will do a little bit later as well. Spurs at Knicks to get us started. I'm pumped for that slate.
No, it's not biased, Zach. Wemby in the Garden, period. End of story. So yes, I get it, but 100% that's must watch TV.
All right, Lauri Markkanen did get his contract extension late last week from the Utah Jazz. And Mike, we know that that deadline came and went, right? Because when you get a contract extension of this magnitude, you cannot be traded for 6 months. And 6 months from the extension date is past this season's trade deadline. So Lauri Markkanen will be a member of the Utah Jazz for at least this NBA season, 5 years, $238 million. That includes $220 million of that in new money. The Jazz are using some of their ample cap space for this coming season to increase Markkanen's salary up to $42 million. Then he gets those four additional years at $196. Markkanen, 24.5 points per game across his first two seasons in Utah after averaging 15.4 points in his first five seasons, of course, with Cleveland and Chicago. Most improved player in the league in the 22-23 season and also made the All-Star game that year. Seems like something the Jazz kind of had to do. And with the timing, obviously locking in Markkanen for this full season, I don't think I can say with any confidence, Mike, that Markkanen will finish out this deal in Utah. But the chances of that got a lot stronger now that he's going to be staying around no matter how hard they tank this year.
You had to do this if you're Danny Ainge. I trust Danny Ainge completely. Got Markkanen, jettisoned Donovan Mitchell. This was a move they had to make. Yes, who are the other players that they have on the team if they don't extend him? What people do when they start criticizing Zach is they say, well, is he really a guy who's going to lead you to a championship? That's not the prism that you look through. He's not. Yes, he struggled. He needs to make sure he plays games. Only averaged about between 50 and 60 games played last 4 years. But he is a player that has increased his average, 13.6 points, 14.8, 25.6, 23.2. Very efficient player. Does a lot when he's on the court. They're going to need more games from him, but he is a major piece, maybe not the piece, maybe not the leader to get this team closer to a title or back to the finals, but he is a piece they had to have that they had to bring back here for the Jazz. I believe in Danny Ainge. There's no reason not to doubt it. Markkanen's a really good player.
Yeah, absolutely with you. And you talk about that being the major move. Another minor move for Utah, they signed Svi Mykhailiuk, 4 years, $15 million. So you talk about moves around the fringes, the Jazz filling out this roster. And again, I expect that tank to be in full throttle, maybe by that Christmas slate. Who knows? Because we know Cooper Flagg, a number of other high-profile draft prospects available next summer. So the Jazz positioning themselves for that run. Let's talk about the gold medal game that took place on Saturday afternoon. Of course, on the last episode of the Fast Break, I went solo. Mike, I don't know if you saw, I rambled for more than 40 minutes.
I loved it. It was tremendous.
That semifinal game.
Seven-hour ride back and forth from camp. I loved it. Excellent.
So U.S. and France get the same starters for the French, but we knew from the day before Shams Charania reported that Kevin Durant would start for Jrue Holiday. So we got that change alongside Steph, Devin Booker, LeBron, and Joel Embiid. And what got me in the opening moments of this game, Mike, was that I thought it was by far Victor Wembanyama's best start to a game this tournament. 7 points, 2 boards, and an assist in the first 5 minutes. Also had a strip of Embiid on a shot attempt, keeping them in this game early. And of course, still doing everything for his team on the defensive side of the ball. What continues to impress me, and again, this is not a new take, of course, but even in a game against a team with majority of those guys on the other side are probably going to end up as basketball Hall of Famers, don't think you can really say much for the rest of Wemby's teammates. But on defense, this kid he guards half of the floor by himself. You see the United States, they want to initiate their actions opposite Victor Wembanyama. So again, I thought him being aggressive to start, having success against the defense of Joel Embiid in this first unit, I thought that was big for France to answer that first punch from the Americans, because they were moving the ball right. Our first basket, and yes, I am saying we and are for these purposes when we're talking about the Americans, you get LeBron in transition, dunk for the first basket. You really feel like we're off to the races. I thought Victor did a good job kind of stymieing that first punch from the Americans. Then you get Rudy Gobert in just over 5 minutes into this game. And again, he had only played 9 minutes total in the previous two knockout games. So that was a little bit surprising to see him off the bench that early. What were your thoughts in the kind of the first quarter overall? Because I know we're going to talk Jason Tatum. We also get Tatum here in the first quarter after DNPing in the semis.
When we did our pod entering the Olympics, the two teams that I thought had a legit chance to knock off Team USA would be Canada and France. Now, the issue with France, which you brought up, was the three-point shooting. They needed to be able to hit shots from beyond the arc. That was the concern. But what I liked about this and what I liked about this game is that France came out and did exactly what they had to do to keep it close. They were very active on the boards. The three-point shooting, 9 of 30, probably about, Zach, where we thought they would be. They had to be a little bit better like Serbia in order to really have a chance to pull this off. But my issue with Tatum, and I will get to it now, I'm getting killed on social media because everyone's like, this is why you don't bench Stephen Curry, because he goes absolutely ballistic. And it was a legendary performance. 24 points. He had 30 plus points in the prior game against Serbia, on fire, 8 of 13 from 3-point range. And Zach, that last 2 minutes of the game, probably one of the best 2 minutes you will ever see in terms of a shooting display. But the way this team was constructed, you can't bring Jason Tatum on this team when he's been a three-time consecutive first-team All-NBA player, when he's fresh off leading the Celtics to a championship, which is regarded here as a world championship. That's what it's called here. We can argue whether it's other countries feel it's not. That's a fact. That is not the type of guy that you can take in, take out, move in, move out. That's not his game. Tatum goes in, played 11 minutes, 2 points, 3 rebounds, 1 of 3 from the field. They need different type of players. If you're going to put Jason Tatum on this team, you're not going to leave him on the bench. So I think Kerr really struggled to find the connections that were working. He eventually put Durant in the starting lineup, which I think was the right move here. But France did exactly what they had to do in order to keep this game close. Fantastic performance from Wemby. He is just his length, his athleticism. He's growing more comfortable on the court. You can see it. Ended up having 26-7. He's going to have a phenomenal MVP-like season this year in the NBA. I truly believe it. Yes, they did a nice job. Was it pretty gutsy move by the French coach to put Gobert on the bench, but I do think it was the right move because they had to have more versatility there. Otherwise, they're just too weak on offense.
Yeah, I agree. And we saw that kind of play out throughout the knockout rounds with Gobert. But yeah, shout out to Coach Calais on the other side. And I'm with you on Tatum, I think, man, because, and I don't know if I necessarily fault Steve Kerr for the way he handled it, but from the roster building perspective, once you get to the knockout rounds, this is very much like you're getting to the second round, the conference finals, the NBA finals. Rotations tighten, right? And so somebody on this roster who probably deserves to be playing is just going to be sitting on the bench. Tatum drew the short straw there. You know, those 9 through 12 spots could probably be 4 Derek White type of guys, Tyrese Halliburton type of guys, and we have the exact same outcome here. It'll be interesting to discuss. Maybe we can hit on it in a few minutes, what this team is going to look like 4 years from now. But we close out the first quarter, U.S. by 5, 20-15. And I think you could see, right, a point that I brought up on the last show, talking about the Canadians and their lack of guard pressure full court. The United States did not make that same mistake. You've got Anthony Edwards all up in Evan Fournier's grill, because are you really going to run Evan Fournier as your point guard against this United States team? That's a mistake. They did make the French pay for that when they went to it to start this second quarter. This is where you start to see Gershon Yabusele really come alive. Cuts it to 4 with 8 minutes to go in the first half. Then Matthew Strazel banks in a 3 to cut it to 1. And when those types of shots are going down, as a fan of the American team, you were thinking, and this is the anatomy of an upset. Strazel then assists to Koulibaly, another one of those guys that we saw DNP in the semifinals get significant run here in the gold medal game. They take the lead 25-24 with 7 minutes to go, but then the Americans coming out of the timeout, they go on a run to close the half. Yabusele, again, putting his stamp not just on this game, but on the knockout rounds as a whole. Huge posterizing dunk on LeBron James, and one gets the foul. Then he gets the tip in at the buzzer to cut the lead to 8 at the break. You know, I felt like the pace, Mike, of that first half really favored France. They were successful, I thought, in slowing the game down to a certain extent. But the United States, even in the first half, just shooting much better. France, 3 of 16 from 3 in the first half. And ultimately, I think that led to their demise. They just could not shoot well enough in this tournament. France, 32.7% from 3 in the Olympic tournament. So at the half, leading by 8, what were your feelings? What were your thoughts then?
I didn't see France winning. I thought that second quarter was critical. They would always keep it close. They didn't allow Team USA to pull away. But at the half, Zach, I said, I think this game is over. We weren't shooting well. Serbia started hot from three-point range right away, so you had a feel that maybe it could carry over. I would say I felt comfortable. Obviously, third quarter was key, and they ended up putting a strong fight in the third quarter. But at halftime, live, I felt comfortable for Team USA. I did.
Yeah, and France makes an adjustment there. Andrew Albasi starts over Frankie Smokes. Frank Ntilikina had been getting the starts here in the knockout rounds. 28 of those 41 points for France came from Wembanyama and Yabusele. And then this is where Steph Curry starts to get hot. 3 in transition, largest lead of the night, 56-43, just 2 minutes into that second half. A minute later, another Steph 3, I believe 2 for 2 in that third quarter, makes it a 14-point game. And then you see Coach Colette bring Rudy Gobert in alongside Victor Wembanyama to try to help with some of that size early in the third. Joel Embiid out there for the Americans. It absolutely kills the French spacing. And I thought kind of the move to counteract having those two bigs out there, we start to see Nando DeColo playing significant minutes here after he was banished to the end of the bench for the majority of this tournament. I was surprised in the early stages, the group stages, that we didn't see more DeColo. And I thought having that true point guard out there, as washed as he might be at this stage in his career, I thought that let France kind of get away with playing those two bigs. I think otherwise this game might have gotten out of hand.
Devin Booker did a good job as well, picking up and pressuring three quarters court all the way through. No, they needed him in. That was a great move. Ended up with 12 points, three assists, two steals. Yes, it aligned everything up, got the ball up the court, and allowed them to maybe go with some different lineups to be able to compensate for the rebounding disadvantage inside. So Anthony Davis with a lot of putbacks, second chance points. That was a killer. It was a good move, and it worked out. He played 18 minutes this game, did a good job for France.
Into the fourth we go, but it's just 6 points here because you get a big step back three from Evan Fournier. I want to say that was his first make of the game with 20 seconds to go in the third. And then just an absolutely I can't say it any other way. A poor turnover, poor decision-making here by Anthony Edwards. DeColo breakaway bucket at the third quarter buzzer. So you get, it was an 11-point game with 20 seconds to go. All of a sudden, it's 6. And we kind of go back and forth to start the quarter. Wemby gets subbed out 4 minutes into that quarter. And then you get about 31 seconds, I think, was the exact count of game time that LeBron went to the bench in the middle of the fourth. Nando DeColo, again, some great play down the stretch. Great finish, I believe, over Bam Adebayo on this play to cut it to 6 with less than 4 to play. Yabusele, Mike, is getting MVP chance when he's at the free throw line, just again underscoring how important he was to this run for France. He is now out there campaigning for himself to get back into the NBA. He says he's ready for his second chance. And I think I agree with him. There is certainly a spot for Gershon Yabusele to play a role in the NBA. Do you have any thoughts there before we close out this game?
Yeah, and when you have an upset of this magnitude, and by the way, 16 and a half was crazy, Zach. That was the spread for this game. Very easy. America struggled to cover. I think they only covered one game this entire Olympics. Yep. But regardless, you need a player to play above the head. And that's exactly what happened here with France, with Yabusele. The dunk, the posterizing of LeBron, 22 rebounds, 2 steals, hit a 3, 7 of 10 from the free throw line. You need that type of player to pull this upset, and he delivered.
And then down the stretch, man, like, I credit the French team for the way they fought here, but Steph Curry is just too much. You get Wemby, big 3 for him to cut it to 3 with just 3 minutes to go. Then Steph responds with a 3 of his own, doubles the lead. That's his 5th 3 of the night. Then under 2 minutes, you get a Steph 3, Batum answers right back with his own 3, and then Steph, another 3 with 1:18 left, gets the lead to 9. And then in my notes here, Mike, I know you can see it, I had to type in all caps, "Oh my Steph," with that step back, double team, fading away. He himself said that was just a heave, so sometimes you get lucky too. He was 4 for 4 from deep in the fourth quarter, 8 for 10 after the first quarter ended, 24 points. All from threes. I think I would still give, and he did get, I would give LeBron the tournament MVP, but the United States does not win this tournament without Steph's 2 huge performances, right? 60 points in the semifinal in the gold medal game.
LeBron was the more consistent player, had to get the MVP, support that. Steph made the difference. He has the killer instinct. He's the greatest shooter I've ever seen. I saw Larry Bird live. There's no comparison. There really isn't. His ability to create space, to create his shot, and regardless of whether he has balance and full support in his shot, like Rick Majerus used to say, he is always ready to go. And when he gets in the zone, there is no one better. He is a handful of players that I've seen in my lifetime that can do something like that late. And he did it, and France knew he was going to do it, and there's nothing they can do. He's taking 2 hard dribbles. I was sitting there going, they have to almost play for the step back. You almost have to guess when he's going to step back and basically allow him to drive to the basket for the layup if he wants to do that, because he's in the zone. You know he's stepping back. Your defense, your help and recover that you've done for all these years of your entire life, if you're a player on France, you have to throw it out the window in the moment because he's crossing over. He's behind the back. Most players attack the basket. He's jumping back. And it puts yourself in a very awkward defensive situation, but that's it. And of course, they can't do it, which I understand. He creates space, shot after shot after shot. And the last one, unreal. There were screams coming from the FTN house in Canton when that last one went up.
That reminds me of, like, I might be mistaken in misremembering here, rather, but Houston Rockets' James Harden in the playoffs going up against Quinn Snyder's Utah Jazz, they guarded him from behind. and did almost exactly what you're describing there. Like, go take the layup, James. We don't want to give you these step back threes where you're so deadly. A lot of talk now about legacy, of course, coming off this for LeBron, for a guy like Steph Curry, Kevin Durant now, four Olympic men's basketball gold medals, believe that is the most all time. But one thing I wanted to ask you, and we had a pretty healthy discussion in the FTN Fantasy Discord channel about Steph and who is the greatest point guard of all time. Now, the two names that I've seen presented most often are Magic and Steph. For me, when I was first asked this question post game on Saturday, my mind went to, I don't really consider Steph a point guard, a pure point guard, but I also don't know how, like, size wise, right? He's not a two, but in terms of his play, he's definitely a shooting guard. And I would encourage folks to road tripping the podcast with Richard Jefferson, Channing Frye. They also had Kendrick Perkins on, and I thought they had a very good discussion, which I would trust over my own analysis, because those are three NBA champions giving their take, and they did not agree on one side or the other. So where do you come down on that? Again, like, I don't think I can say he's not a point guard, but he also, again, just doesn't strike me as that pure point guard type of player.
He's not a point guard to me. I understand he's being labeled as that. He's not. When I think point guard, I'm talking about a player who's running the offense, setting things up. Greatest point guard I've ever seen is Magic Johnson, period. Steph is too good of a scorer to be considered a point guard for me. He is a shooting guard for me. From a pure shooting standpoint, he is the best shooting guard player, period, I've ever seen. But I am with you. I do not count Steph as a point guard. I don't. That's not what I envision, which is why I would put Magic first. He's too much of a scorer. Not that it's a negative at all, but it bumps into shooting guard is what it does.
Yeah, I think he's just undersized shooting guard, I think, if I have to qualify it. But again, none of that to discount Steph's greatness throughout his career, right? And he said after the 2022 title, the one thing left for him to accomplish was that Olympic gold. Glad he got it. Glad we held on to this Olympic gold as a country, because getting that France side, man, that is the big difference with France. Not just that they have Wemby, right? You look at Greece, they've got Giannis. You look at the Germans, they're a little bit more balanced, but still a lot of NBA caliber talent there. You look across just the spectrum of European and global basketball programs. Those French, man, we know they had three of the top six picks in last month's draft. Ain't going to be in this French program, right? You've got Wemby. You've got Nolan Traore, who's going to be in the draft next year, right? And he's going to come up and, I don't know, man, I think United States-France might be the final in international basketball for a long time to come. My last takeaway, though, and we're talking about Steph, we're talking about shooting. I think overall watching, taking in this tournament, our shortcomings at the World Cup a year and a half ago when Germany, of course, took that down. I think the United States has gone from dominating our game, right? It is still our game, athletically, to now we are just the most dominant shooting team, and we are ahead of the curve in that manner. 18 of 36 from three in the gold medal game, and across the tournament, Mike, 46.1% as a team from deep. 5 percentage points clear of the next closest team, which was Brazil. And one thing I noticed looking at these stats is some of those teams that you and I might deem as lesser, right? Your Japan's, your Brazil's, your South Sudan. Those are the teams that were shooting second, third, fourth best from three in this field. And I think that's just kind of the shortcoming from the world to the United States now, is that none of the other teams that you and I considered contenders, right? France, Serbia, Germany, Canada. 33% for France, 35% for Serbia, 35% for Germany, 32% for Canada. There's just like, you don't have the team with the talent and the shooting, right? You've got those other lesser teams with the shooting and maybe not the talent. The United States has it all. So I think to me, that is the gap that we still have on the global field, is our ability to shoot. And we got to keep that up, man, because again, the world is progressing.
Yeah, you're not going to beat Team USA if they're going to outshoot you. 18 of 36 from three-point range for Team USA in the gold medal game. It is amazing that France actually kept it that close. If I were to tell you they shot that from three-point range, doubled the amount of threes from France, never would have thought they kept it close. Another interesting point, they were able to rebound well, even against the team with Gobert didn't play as much, and Wemby, 37 boards to 33. They out-rebounded France as well. Other teams will adjust. The other countries will adjust. But you cannot spot America, who has the best individual players with the ball in their hand in the country, in the world, you can't spot them 18 of 36. So the other shooting will improve. And you saw it with Serbia. They got hot. And when they did, you can definitely beat them, especially when you have an all-NBA, all-historic player in Jokic in the center. But you can't have that. France, though, scrappy, hustled, home court advantage, played really well. 98-87, Team USA gets it done on the backs of 18 of 36.
Just a couple other unsung heroes. I gave my huge Drew Holiday spiel last episode. He also was very important. Of course, throughout the tournament in this gold medal game, very good again. But shout out Anthony Davis. Shout out Devin Booker. Devin Booker, I think, the true unsung hero of this team.
Yes.
Picking guys up 94 feet, playing a ton of minutes, doing the small things, right? This is not a guy who went out there and hunted his shot and took the air out of the ball, right? He went out there, he played his role, he did it quite well. Devin Booker, one of the pillars of this program, I think, going forward.
Yeah, especially defensively. Devin Booker, when you see him in the NBA in Phoenix, he's hot, three-point shooting, starts the game well, ball-centered player, bringing the ball up the court. Wasn't that role here for America, but still played exceptionally well, especially defensively. On ball defense, rebounds, assists, and then made timely shots when he needed to. So, yeah, very impressed with Devin Booker. Was often on the floor at the end of the games, and I did not expect that when we started the Olympics.
Congrats to Serbia on their bronze medal. They defeat the Germans there in that bronze medal game. I don't know if you saw any of the clips of Nikola Jokic after that one, but I've never seen that guy smile that much, even when he won the NBA championship. Jokic, you can see how much it means to these guys to win for their country. Congrats to them. And then congrats to the women as well, because I know we haven't paid nearly as much attention to the women's side. And I think probably everybody, that gold medal match, much closer, much more competitive than any of us thought that any of these games would be for the women. And that kind of goes for the entire tournament, but they still pull it out right. You get the gold medal by one, by a toe on that three-point line. But we get both golds in our game. And at the end of the day, can't say too much negative about it, right? You bring home both golds. We love to see it.
No, you bring home both golds, even though the second game, you could tell the people on social media, Zach, were ready to attack with Caitlin Clark and the comments and everything, but they got the job done. And it should not be about Caitlin Clark. I don't want any of that. Let's just enjoy the players for what it is and not force drama that doesn't need to be there. Incredible player, of course. I would understand if she was on, but the player there, the team there was good enough. They got the gold, got the job done, wiped their brow, got across the line there. Great win for Team USA women as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We can leave the Caitlin Clark talk for another pod. Let's close it out here, Mike. Stock up, stock down. I'm going to take the lead this week and go stock up Derek White, right? Because we're talking about Tatum's DNP CDs. We got Jaylen Brown, whether he's mouthing, thoughts about Bronny on the sideline of a summer league game, whether he's talking to Nike about leaving him off Team USA. Celtics win a championship. Derek White, his last 2 months, Mike, right? We can forget getting traded away from the Spurs because he may have love still in San Antonio, but he didn't have to go through any of this tank crap with San Antonio. He's been winning games. So he wins an NBA title. Then 2 weeks later, $126 million payday with that contract extension. A month later, Olympic gold medal. Stock up, Derek White.
Yeah, Derek White's a winner. And those are the type of players that you need. Your Robert Ory's, your Bruce Bowen's. And Derek White has embraced the role on a team, does a great job, deserves it. That is it. And it's how you win in the NBA. You can't just accumulate stars anymore. It doesn't work. You need those role players. We need them on the Olympics. Stock up Derek White. Totally support it.
All right. What do you got for stock up this week?
Yeah, stock up for me is first Nikola Jokic, who just tremendous job by him with Serbia, keeping that game close and almost pulling everything off and then winning the bronze medal. The other one for me is Jalen Brunson. I saw the press conference with the Knicks. He's named a captain. He wants this team to win a title. He's focused on it. I was here in New York when the Knicks botched it against the Rockets. I still think, Zach, if John Starks' three is not blocked by Elijah Wan, I think it's going in, and that would have won the game. 18 points in the fourth quarter, forgotten about because he was so abysmal in game 7. But I know what it's like when this team is in the finals, and I think Jalen Brunson's going to get it there. He consistently says and does the right things, and that's why he gets rewarded. Took less money. Of course, he's still rich, but he took less money to help his team, and he says the right things, and he's a true leader. Great job here. Kudos to Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, I love that. Knicks certainly going to be a team that everybody has their eye on coming in to this next season. And while we're talking Knicks, Matthias Lesort for France. The Knicks have his rights. Mm-hmm. Bring this man over to the States. Get him on the end of this bench. Tom Thibodeau, if we're going to have Taj Gibson on the roster last year, you can't tell me we don't have space for Matthias Lesort. I would love to see that. Mike, I'll toss it to you to start our stock downs for the week.
Yeah, two stock downs. Number one, Canada. I just don't think they did a good job. They robbed me of what I wanted to see was a fantastic battle with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander doing what he does. So disappointed with their performance. And the second one I'll call out is social media. Zach, can we just enjoy the Olympics? Why does that have to then compare that LeBron has three Olympic golds and Jordan only has two, and we're adding on to KD's legacy because he has four? Zach, the Olympics is special. It's wonderful. That does not equate to Hall of Fame or all-time greatness. It doesn't. The Ryder Cup doesn't do that. You look at Colin Montgomery's record and Tiger Woods' record and the Ryder Cup. I mean, give me a break. Can we just enjoy it for what it is? It's spectacular. It's wonderful. Yes, it's different than what used to be. There weren't pros, or there were. There were this. Doesn't matter. Team USA got the gold. It was an all-world performance from Stephen Curry. LeBron James is legendary for playing at the age that he is. But let's not leak that into ridiculous arguments. Just enjoy it for what it is, like we enjoyed the women for a fantastic performance. Enough of the chatter. It was great basketball. International game was thriving. Loved it. But could we please take it easy? And Canada, where were you?
Yeah, I agree on Canada, man. We got to wait at least 3 years to the potential World Cup, right? Maybe a matchup there, but we know that the American players don't come out for the World Cup like they do for the Olympics. So definitely a disappointment there. I will push back on one point of the legacy talk, though, Mike, because I think Hall of Fame, I think it's fine to, again, because Basketball Hall of Fame, right, is all-encompassing, not just NBA, but the Olympic basketball does not affect the NBA legacy of these players, right? And that's where I am 100%.
Right, and I'm not saying – I'm saying, Zach, that it's just different eras, different times. Like,
can't you compare eras. We can't.
If you want to say LeBron's greater than Jordan, I have no problem with it. I don't agree, but the argument cannot be bolstered by the three gold medals that he got. That you can't have. I won't have. Yeah. We're bringing it – you want to go that he's longevity and he's taken so many teams to the finals and he took the Cavs to the finals with me, you, and Marshall. Fine. I have no problem with that. But don't make it more than it is. That's where we go a little crazy, and that's where I'm here to check everyone and take it easy. But certainly, it's part of the legacy, but you cannot use this to explain why someone is a greater historic player than another. That's not fair. We're going to knock Nikola Jokic because he got a bronze medal?
Right.
Are you serious? Can't do that.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. I'll close it out here. My stock down for the week is German basketball, and their program, of course, still going to be competing at least for the next window, if not the next two. But Dennis Schroeder going to be, I think, 36, maybe 34 by that time. But again, 4 years older for Schroeder. I don't know if he can keep this up, because again, FIBA Schroeder is way different from NBA Schroeder. It's almost like international Patty Mills at this point. But Mo Wagner will be 31 by then. Of course, you expect Franz to maybe be an NBA All-Star caliber player then, but I just don't see the pipeline for the Germans coming to sustain this current success, because we see now, once everybody's got their big guns out there, right, you didn't medal. So I think there should maybe be a little bit of worry there for German basketball fans if this, like, last 2-3 years was maybe a blip on the overall radar for international play. So I've got a little bit of a stock down there for the Germans.
Yeah, very fair. Totally fair. And it's just, we're used to a certain level that we've seen. And, you know, we want that level with supportive programs, countries that have been historically great. We want to see it continue. That's very fair as well.
All right, Mike, anything else for you before we shut it down here on episode 5 of The Fast Break?
It's just August 12th, Zach. And we're on Mondays here from here on out, folks. So you have it all week to get us. The schedule starting to be revealed is exciting. I can't wait. Listen, you can say what you want. There are no storylines like the NBA. The players moving teams, Sixers, Bucks, Timberwolves, can they get over the hump? Lakers, LeBron, J.J. Redick. I cannot wait to bet the Lakers under. J.J. Redick is a coach. Zach Graham would be a better coach than J.J. Redick. He actually coaches. But that's for another time.
Can't wait to continue moving through this off season with all of you. We appreciate you tuning in and sticking with us here on episode 5. Like Mike mentioned, we are Mondays now throughout the rest of the off season. Then we're going 2 times a week once the regular season rolls around. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody. We will do the same, and we'll see you back here next Monday for another edition of the FTN Fast Break. Till then, he's Mike Randall. I'm Zach Graham. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.